Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
My message this morning is this. It's a part two of what was preached on Pentecost Sunday. So my message is this. You've heard God's voice before. You've heard God's voice before. Are you still listening for His voice? You've heard Him before, but are you still listening? See, friends, in these very confusing days where distractions are just taking over everything and noises are killing us, and we've talked about this for years, but it's increasing. It's so prevalent now. I'm a very focused person. I'm very determined in how I do things. I have everything scripted, and that's why I love multitasking, because I have everything in its segment. But I find lately that I'm even distracted by something that caught me, and that is my cell phone. It does that feed. How many know that iPhone does that feed? And I'll pick up the phone to do something, and you see a byline. And because I see the byline and it throws me, I open that byline. Then when you open it, there's four others, and then you start reading. Am I the only one? See, the distraction. The distraction is that little sentence they have on the front of my phone. It opens me up to the world that the media wants me to go down that road. And it distracts me. Sometimes I'm just going to make a phone call, and then here I am. And a couple of minutes later, if you're mature like me, you can't even remember who you were going to call. Anybody? Come on, wave to me. But what we all need today, what we all need now, is we need a new awareness, a renewed awareness, and an attraction to the Spirit and presence of Christ. The same way that sound bite or sight bite, it used to be sound bites, now it's sight bite. The same way that sight bite lures us in, we need to ensure the Word of God draws us in so we are focused on the presence of the Lord. And this requires listening, observing, hearing, responding. I preached this on Pentecost Sunday. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, 50 days after Easter is Pentecost. And I reminded us in that message that the disciples waited, they listened, they heeded, they responded, and then they went out. And that is why, going back to that cell phone, the other news that they have listed under is what they want us to read. That byline was to get us down the road. And that is so we now need to purpose in our spirits, God, your voice first. I've got to listen. But when I listen, I got to move from listening, observe what's going on. Observe the atmosphere. Observe. Pause. Let my spirit begin to take in what is the Lord saying to me. And then that's when it gets into the hearing. But you know, we don't just hear by listening. We hear by hearing. And when we hear, we respond. So if we're going to listen to God's voice, we absolutely have to pray daily, God, help me to have a new sensitivity to your Holy Spirit. Resurrect a rightful spirit in me. God, I've got to move from listening, into really hearing in the inner ear. Because hearing is the ability to know God's voice, but the ability to know God's voice is only proven when I activate it by moving in the right direction. If you say to someone, did you hear me? And they said, right? Yes. How do you know they really heard you? Talk to me. How do you know they really heard you? We move into action. So as believers, online, in-house, no matter where you are, we've got to move into a spiritual culture of hearing God's voice. And the passage that I preached, I'm going to read it for you to give you context, where David heard God's voice and he responded so very well. So here was the message on the passage for the message on Pentecost Sunday. 1 Chronicles 14, verse 8 to 12. I've got to give it to you as a backdrop before I go into today's passage, message number 2. When the Philistines heard that David had been appointed king over all Israel, they mobilized all their forces to capture him. But David was told they were coming, so he marched out to meet them. The Philistines arrived and made a raid in the valley of Rephaim. So David asked God, "Should I go out to fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" The Lord replied, "Yes, go ahead. I will hand them over to you." So David and his troops went up to Baal Perazim and defeated the Philistines there. "God did it," David exclaimed. "He used me to burst through my enemies like a raging flood." So they named that place Baal Perazim, which means "the Lord who burst through." The Philistines had abandoned their gods there, so David gave orders to burn them. Amen. That was part one of the message of 1 Chronicles 14. God has always demonstrated to us what we need to do. And no matter what we're going through, it doesn't matter what the situation, God has an answer and he speaks it in our spirit. The problem is not whether or not God is speaking to us, is whether we're listening. And sometimes the answer, it may be strange, it may be weird, it may be off the edge, but if we're listening, it will bring its own clarity into our spirit. Recently, I was going through a deep struggle trying to figure something out, and it was just really bogging me down so much so. I'm not a person that can be depressed or all of that, but I actually said, "Lord, am I getting depressed? Because this is really troubling me," and I couldn't sleep. It just kept bombarding. And if you ever had it where it just keeps playing like a record in your mind over and over and over? And I was just crying out to the Lord, and I said, "God, I need a word from you to help me get beyond this." And in my spirit, now I'm going to tell you very clearly, I didn't look this up and saw it. I heard it in my spirit, and I don't even remember ever seeing this. But in my spirit came this verse that comes out of Proverbs. It's Proverbs 3, verse 30, and it says, "Folks should never pick a fight without reason when no one has done them harm." I got up, I grabbed my Bible, and I started looking in Bible Gateway, you know, never pick a fight, look without, and I found it. It's Proverbs 3:30. We did Proverbs all last year. I don't remember this verse. Have you ever gotten to the place where you've never seen this one before? But you know what that did? It healed me. Healed my mind. It healed my spirit. It gave me perspective. It made me realize, keep going. You're on the right track. And folks, it brought such clarity that I went to sleep. You will always hear a voice saying, "This is the way to go." But you can't hear a voice if you're not listening and then heeding what your listening is saying. Got to move it. Folks, got to remember this all across. The battle against us today is not just physical. It's very spiritual. David determined, "I'm going to only hear God's voice." David had a mighty army. David had 600 warriors that could fight with the left hand and the right hand, that could take down giants. David did not listen to his giant killer army leaders. You know who he listened to? The voice of the Lord. So don't ever doubt God's ability to help you, because our obedience is first to God. My obedience is first to God. Say it to yourself. My obedience is first to God. Do you know what trips us up? We get so caught up in listening to the voices of people who are strong that we forget my obedience is first to God. So I said this in the last message. We cannot be praying to a God we refuse to hear. We cannot be praying to a God we refuse to hear. I didn't put it up on the screen, but you can type that right in your chat and send it out to everybody. Proverbs 16, 3 and 9 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. It's not have your educational level or your spiritual level make the plans. It's commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. He also says in verse 9, we make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. So sometimes you don't understand the steps, but God is making the determinations. Amen? So that was part of the previous message, which lines up today's message. Again, I ask you this. You heard God's voice before. Are you still listening for God's voice? God's voice before. Are you still listening for God's voice? Have you guys noticed that the colds lately linger? We have to pray. No, this Bible says in the last days these diseases and things will come, and they have no explanation. They linger. How many have had the lingering ones? Oh, wow. Whoa. Put those hands up there. Okay, wait. Put it way up. I got it from you. Online, you're blessed. You heard God's voice before? Are you still listening for His voice? Let us seek God more consistently, folks. That's the message today. The first time that David came up against the enemy, he defeated them and he won a great victory over them. But new victories must always be sought. The thing about us as Christians is sometimes we're so caught up in yesterday's victory, we forget that God has new victories, new mercies, new blessings every single day. And we got to get ready. God, give us new victories, because that's what makes our God so great. No other God like Him. He delights in doing new things. So here we are. Today's text comes out of 1 Chronicles 14, verse 13 to 17. But after a while, the Philistines returned and raided the valley again. And once again, David asked God what to do. Do not attack them straight on, God replied. Instead, circle around behind and attack them near the poplar trees. When you hear a sound like marching feet in the tops of the poplar trees, go out and attack. That will be the signal that God is moving ahead of you to strike down the Philistine army. That God is moving. Read that line with me. That God is moving. Always keep God ahead of you. So here we continue, verse 16. So David did what God commanded, and they struck down the Philistine army all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. So David's fame spread everywhere, and the Lord had caused all the nations to fear David. Father, your word is powerful. Your word is rich. It has got the power in it to cut to the dividing of soul and spirit. It has the capacity to change and transform us. But oh God, we have to choose to hear what the Spirit is saying to us, your people. So today we open up our inner ear and we say, speak, my Lord, that we may know what you desire as we press forward, because you are already ahead of us. So we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. The enemy felt that David had the first victory as a coincidence. And so the Bible says after a time they assembled and they came up against him again. Folks, every time you win a victory, don't expect the devil to sit back and go, nice, I'm so happy for you. He's already strategizing the next attack. And he will use the most insignificant things or the most dear things or the most unpredictable things in your life to bring that attack about. Because if he can't get you one way, he's going to get you another. Young people know this. If he can't get you one way, he's going to find whatever your weakness is, even if your weakness is a good thing. Hello? So we've got to have an assurance that's based on the word of God. Not a happenstance, not a coincidence, oh, maybe God, but an assurance that God is with us, God is ahead of us, that his divine presence is round about us, that he has a plan and a purpose for us, and that he will make a way where there is no way. So the text says, after a while, the Philistines raided the valley again. Folks, the devil will raid your valleys again and again. But yesterday's victory is past. Today's victory is before us. And tomorrow's victory is ahead of us. But who is ahead of us? Got to keep that in mind. Because the enemy knows when we are weak, when we're distracted, when we're materialistically consumed, when we've become fearful and faithless, and he makes it his business to find what is your weak point. David, here's his weak point. He was a newly appointed king, and he had not yet assembled all of Israel. Some of the Israelites, some were still under Saul's control. The kingdom of Saul, pardon me, Saul had died, but they were still under the kingdom of Saul, and they were not fully committed to David. Chapter 18 of this passage tells us that in the course of time, David subdued all the enemies, and he began to list the cities. However, despite all these enemies that David subdued, he could not get the nation of Israel to come together. That is a message. Some of you missed it. He subdued the enemies around him. He subdued the external factors. He subdued the things from outside that would have broken down the kingdom of God, but he could not get those inside the kingdom to come together. There, where Bible says, where there's no unity, we create disunity, which gives the enemy excessive room to destroy from within. I love this church because we've seen such a powerful unity among us in these last years, something that has coined this church for decades. We are going to press on in Jesus' name. Says this. Here's how we learn to live in that type of unity. Ephesians chapter 4. There are gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. That's what he wants for us, a spiritual maturity. But here's what it says, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. That is a power-packed word and reminder to us as we grow in spiritual maturity, especially in a day of chaos. And folks, there's a lot of new wind of teaching going on. But what I love about this Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada church is that we have a stable structure, and we have guidance to ensure the Word of God is rightly divided. That is why you can grow in the power of the Spirit online. That is why it's not everything you get out there that is the right diet. There's a lot of fast food that can kill you, but you got to stay with the food that will build you. Amen. So the enemy is always waiting to strike at God's people. The Bible says when the Philistines advance a second time, David, who had won a victory over them before, David, who was the commander of the army that is such a powerful army, they could beat the Philistines, such a mighty army, they could take out the nations around them. David, who knew the power he had behind him, the force, pardon me, that he had behind him in his army, David says, God, should I go up again? He didn't say, army officials, come and instruct me so that we will have a strategy of men by how we will operate. He said, God, do we do this again? Why? You are David. Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. You have giant killers, and you beat them before. Just go out and do it again. See, the plight of many Christians today is we're always boasting about yesterday's victory without maintaining continuous communion with God so we can hear new direction. I love new direction. Don't you get tired of same old, same old, same old? Newness is where we're at. The world is moving fast. Time, look, folks, it's July 6th. Has anyone caught on yet? So I want to just encourage us today. The faith-filled and the faithful rises to new challenges. The faith-filled and the faithful, the faith-filled and the faithful rises to new challenges. So David asked God, he inquired again, shall I go up? And the Lord, what did the Lord say? What? Speak to me online. What did the Lord say? But we went up before and we defeated them. Why don't I do it again? Because God's strategy is not human strategy. Isaiah 55, 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Folks, it's a spiritual time for us to not listen to every chatter and every little soundbite, but begin to say, God, let me hear you. Because the Bible tells us if we listen to everyone, fear will grip us because we'll be on men's agenda, not on God's. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And if we're going to use our sound mind, we have to become sensitive to God's voice and follow His direction. Means I'm only going to yield to God. What do you have us to do? What would you have us to do? And so David asked God, well, if I'm not going to go up, what do I do? God says, do not go straight up, but circle around them. Do not go straight up. Last time you went straight up and you beat them. But they come back again because the devil is, he's not omniscient. He doesn't have knowledge and power. He's just timeless. He knows behavior. If you're wondering why you keep getting tripped up, he knows your behavior. That's why you got to ask God for newness. You got to trip him up by a new thing. He knows how you're going to behave because he's been watching you. So when you ask God for new vision, new wisdom, new direction, God will trip up the enemy because the enemy doesn't know what you're going to do. And so here he says, circle around them. In verse 15 he says, As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, move out for battle. God's declaration to them was an impossible act. Impossible act. When you've heard God's voice before, you got to listen again freshly for God's voice again. Are you still listening? Because here's the thing, what God delights in the impossible. Because the impossible shows the world what God is doing, not what you are about. So he says to them, David, you're going to have your men circle around them. See, if you're going to circle around them, you're splitting the army into splinters. You're putting them in little pockets like a flock of goats. How's that going to work, God? We're a mighty military might. We're going to come. He says, no, they're ready for that. The devil's ready for that. Let me give you one where God is going to be showing you how God is at work. And just imagine the different types of people in David's army, much like we are in the church. I'm using these analogies, and I've used this before, but I love this concept. If you think about it, we generally talk about people in the West, especially in Western Canada. They're quick. They're eclectic. They like to respond to things. They like to try everything new. They're on it. Just say new, and they're there. Anybody, you kind of West mentality? Just say new and I'm in. Anybody? It's just me? I'm more of a West person. Those in the East tend to be a bit slower, a little bit more skeptic. We've got to quantify, qualify, justify, rectify. And so they will tend to reason things away. Those in the North, well, you know what North is. It's already chosen, frozen. We got some chosen, frozen. You know, it brings a lethargic attitude that they're so accustomed to things. It's like, let's just do it the way we've always done it. Let's not rock anybody's boat. And, you know, if I'm going to listen for the sound of some bush, I can tell you right now, I'll never hear the sound because I don't even hear the big sounds right now. Those in the South, well, we know the South, it's all you islanders. Just say, party! They're in a party before you call the party. Very enthusiastic. David would have had these types of people. Let's just talk about it. From his army, from the West, those that are on the West side, they'd be like, Hey, the tree moved. Did you see it? It's moving. It didn't even move yet. But they saw it move before it moved. Then you got the East going, is it moving? Well, let's call a meeting and have a committee and make a determination. You know, and let's get an engineer and, you know, get a scientist and see, did it move or did it not move? And then you've got the North going, nothing's moving. Right? And then you got the South going, why do we have to wait for it to move? Let's move. David would have had an army. Remember, they were military might. When you got people of such power, it's hard to put them all in different directions and then tell them to hear the same sound. And here's the thing you need to know about the tree that God gave them. That tree, and I've told you this church before, I've told you this text before. That tree exists in Israel. You will see it when you go on tour. It is such a thick leaf tree and short, it has no capacity to move in the wind. The wind's blowing, it'll blow over it. And even if the wind blew low, the leaf is too thick for you to hear a rustling. So God is telling them, east, west, north, south, you're going to listen for a sound that only your spirit can hear. Because if you're listening for it from your knowledge, from your experience, from what you've done in the past, you're never going to hear it because this is an impossible act. And now, the army is everywhere, and they've got to hear the sound at the same time. Because if the West moves out too soon, the North is dead. because you know it's going to take them a little longer. If the south jumps up and runs, the east is in trouble. So they had to hear the impossible sound together. This is a pivotal message, folks, because we're in a day and a time where, as a church body across this nation of Canada, last week as we were outside, and you saw those beautiful children and youth line up to pray for our nation, province by province. Wasn't that impressive? We are setting a standard over our nation. And we, as a church, need to be hearing the voice of the Spirit together. When you hear the moving like leaves in the mulberry bush, move out. So here's what God's saying to us in this day. It's time. It's time for us to hear together. It's time for us to be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. For God is getting ready to do some impossible acts, and He's going to do it through us. He's going to do it through you online. He's going to do it through you in-house. But you've got to be hearing not what you want to hear, but what He is declaring. Can you just imagine when you hear the sound of marching in the poplar tree, the tree that can't move? So can I ask you, what was marching in the poplar tree when they had to hear it together? What were they listening to? The wind of the Spirit, the sound of the angels. Because the Bible says the angels of the Lord encamps around those who love Him. His angels stand guard round about us. Folks, the world is going in a crazy direction. But one thing I know, we're going to listen for the moving of the Spirit. And when we see and hear His move, we're going to move out together. My trust will not be in systems. My trust will not be in rules, regulations, or laws. My trust will not be in my education or my status. My trust will not be in what I know of the past. Can I ask you, what will your trust be in? Is it going to be in who you think you are? What you bring? Who you know? What you have? What is your trust going to be in? Because in these days, with all that is going on around us, I'm going to have to hear the same rustling, moving, impossible moment, spiritual power of God at work. We got to hear it collectively, and a new generation have got to hear what we heard. The old army guys, with David, they have had to tune their ears to hear. They couldn't go by their military might. And the young ones who didn't even know what an impossible sound is like, or what the Spirit sound is like, they had to learn how to hear the same sound at the same time. I want a church that's going to hear the same sound at the same time. Because our trust will not be in men or horses. It will be in the name of the Lord.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.